I just want to give what to me is a short description of what we are doing today. For those of you who know me, short for me is not short for you. So please forgive me. Hang in there. I've got green paper, so I'll flash it at you if you fall asleep to kind of wake you up a little bit. This is what happens when you don't check the tray before you print in our church, because paper gets left. So it's not so often that in our church we get to baptize 10 children of God. I am thanking God in this moment for his grace and his mercy for us to be a part of this. It is only by God's grace and his Spirit's work that we are in this moment, because salvation is not by anyone other than Jesus Christ. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not of yourselves, but a gift of God. Not by works, so that no man can boast. And so this moment is not a time for our church to boast and in anything but Jesus Christ. And so praise God for this moment, because he is at work. And so baptism is an outward sign of an inward change. That's kind of the mantra that we have for this. It is an outward sign of an inward change. Water baptism is a visible symbol demonstrating a person's uniting with Jesus Christ in the likeness of his death and resurrection. And so what we mean by that is we practice immersion, believers' immersion baptism. And so we practice this where we dunk them, okay, and we hold them under till they die, and then we pray God brings them back to life. That's not at all. But it is a symbol where we put them, we dunk people, we immerse them, and they come back as a sign and a symbol of being buried with Jesus and risen in new life and the promise of eternal life, just as Jesus was buried and he came into new life as well. And so this is a symbol. It is a person's public profession in front of the church and the world that Jesus Christ is their Savior. It is the outward sign that they have repented and put their trust in Jesus Christ. And I had to explain what repentance is. Repentance means literally a change of mind. And so we repent of our sins. We leave our sins at the cross and we repent and we turn away from our sins. And Jesus, does this mean we never sin again? No. But it means we trust in Jesus for forgiveness of our sins and we continually confess. And actually, Martin Luther, in his 95 thesis, says the Christian life is a life of repentance. There isn't a day goes by that a Christian doesn't need to repent and thank God for his forgiveness. And so in this picture that we are going to go through, we have died to ourselves and our sin in order to live for Jesus. This is a time that we can remember, those of us who have been baptized, of what Jesus has done for us. And I encourage you to remember your baptism in this moment and commit your life continually to him. And so as a people who want to be obedient to Jesus, we want to follow his command to be baptized. Matthew 28:19, baptize people in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. This is a moment of obedience. If you are a believer and have not been baptized, I would strongly urge you to take some time right now and pray about being baptized. I recently read a decent analogy that communicates the importance of baptism, although it does fall short in stating it fully, as most analogies do. Baptism is like the wedding ceremony. While it theoretically is possible to get married without one, most Christians believe there is something defective about two people simply claiming to be married. Society may deem them married depending on circumstances, but churches have tended, and with good biblical reason, to emphasize that it's important, if not required, for a man and woman to exchange vows before God and God's people. Similarly, a person who claims to be saved but refuses to be baptized may very well be saved, but is not living out the Christian life in its truest sense. The majority of Christians everywhere and across denominations agree that Christians need to be baptized. And I would even illustrate it with like a wedding ring. The wedding ring doesn't make you married, but it is a sign of you being married. And baptism doesn't make you saved. It doesn't save you, but it is a sign that you are a Christian. You are saved. And so while baptism is not necessary for salvation, our salvation is not dependent upon baptism. It is a duty and a delight for the believer. The gospel clearly tells us that salvation is by grace, God's unmerited favor alone through Jesus Christ. Baptism doesn't save anyone. It is symbolic of washing away sins, but it no way saves a person. We are saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. Baptism is this public declaration that we have repented. And Romans 10:9, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved, and a sign of that salvation is baptism. And so the symbol of baptism illustrates many significant realities: Jesus' death and resurrection, a disciple's, a believer's union with Jesus in his death and resurrection, the new life a disciple walks of dying to self and having life in Jesus, and the symbolic cleansing and washing of sin. And so baptism does not save, but it is a means of grace in which God sanctifies and encourages his people. Though his grace is a mystery and is mediated through this ordinance, it is not saving. We are baptized in obedience as we obey Christ and are conformed to his image, which is sanctification, which is this process of being transformed into his image. And so who should be baptized? Well, Matthew 28:18-20 gives us a clue. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." So if you have become a disciple, be baptized. Acts 2:37-41, "Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart." This is at the end of Peter's first sermon after Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came upon them. And he said, the rest of the apostles, and they said to Peter, "Brothers, what shall we do?" And Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself." And with many other words, he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, "Save yourselves from this crooked generation." So those who received his word and were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. And so if you have repented, be baptized. If you have repented and put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, you are to be baptized. And this is a promise given for this promise is made available for families, and so we share the gospel that Jesus Christ has given his life for you, for your sins, so that you may have eternal life. And so a disciple is baptized to obey the commands of Jesus, to follow the example of Jesus, and to publicly profess that one is a disciple of Christ. So those that you see up here, and after they're baptized, you see them in public, you will know they are a Christian because you observe this public profession of faith. It is an opportunity to show our trust and love for our King. And the desire to be baptized should be motivated by a desire to glorify God in faithful and joyful obedience. And so baptism is serious business. In some cultures, to be baptized as a Christian is to lose family, to lose friends, and even in some cultures have a price put on your head. In Muslim countries, baptism is kind of the thing. If you become baptized as a Christian, you are no longer part of the family, and death is now on your heads. And so it is not something that we enter into lightly, and we discuss this with the baptism candidates, that this is for the rest of your life. It is not to just be entered in a moment of emotion. It is to be entered into in a time of conscious obedience. And it's not so much in the case in the United States where you are in danger for being baptized, but it is nonetheless serious and important. And so if you have repented of your sins and believed in Jesus Christ alone for salvation, you should be baptized. And so when a person puts their trust in Jesus Christ, baptism happens. When it comes to children, there should be a discernment period, and this is where I work with parents in terms of discerning. Have they seen change? What is going on at home? Because a pastor can only do so much, you know, and see what's going on. And so in the working with parents is a huge, huge piece of it. And so we come to this time to baptize some younger believers and some young adult believers. And I've asked if anyone desires to share a testimony is free to do so. But I don't require a testimony, as I believe and am convicted in the Scriptures that the baptism itself and the confession that we have repented of our sins and put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ and that we've committed to following Jesus, that is the testimony. And Jesus continues to write our testimony throughout the life of his faithfulness to us. And so some have chosen to share their testimony as he has put it in some of their hearts to do so. And so I'm going to invite everybody to come up to that so I can introduce them. So Cammy, Caden, Kaya, Ethan, Annabelle, Reese, and Mark can come up. Caitlin and Aaron, Addie, Hallie, and Josh is already up here. Good job, buddy. And Derek. And you'll notice that I'm having some of the dads come up, and this hasn't happened often in the past, but recently I've been convicted that dads are, if they're believers, are the spiritual leaders of the household. And so I'm inviting them to participate me in the waters of baptism in helping me baptize their children. And so it's crowded. Praise God. Okay? And so can I borrow your microphone? And so not everybody will be sharing a testimony, and so I'm going to kick those out soon, those who are not sharing a testimony, so they can get started, because this is going to be a conveyor belt type of thing. Betty would like to ask if we can install a slide on the other side. she didn't say that, but I wanted to say she did. But anyway, so we have here Derek on the end. Say hi, Derek.
Hi.
Thank you. And Cammie Hippler. Caden Trask. Caden, it's his birthday today. Today he is 13, so an extra set of prayer for Cammie, as she's got two teenagers in the house. And we have Kaya as well, and Ethan. And so they're going to start and head back and start getting ready for the process. And so we have Caitlin down here. Caitlin, would you like to read your testimony yourself? Okay, awesome. So this is Caitlin Gibbs, and this is her dad, Aaron. So, yeah, there you go.
I grew up in a Christian home. I go to church and am involved in King's Kids. I have learned that I am a sinner, and I know that I need a Savior, who is Jesus. I know that God sent his Son, Jesus, to die on the cross to save us from our sins. I have asked Jesus to come into my heart and forgive me of my sins, and I choose to follow him for all of my life.
Amen. Thank you, Caitlin, so much. Thank you. If you want to go back and start, yeah. You ready, Addie?
Sure.
Do you want me to hold it or do you want to hold it?
I'll hold it.
Okay, awesome.
When I was little, my dad was the pastor, and I was surrounded by people who were always teaching me and showing me about Jesus. They helped show me he was real and not just some story someone wrote for children. I was always told that Jesus loves me and he created the world. I just believed because I didn't really know anything else. I trusted my parents and the Sunday school teachers. When I was 7, I started asking a lot of questions like, how does the moon reflect the sun, and how God made things. I asked a lot about why people did things in the Bible, and I didn't realize that it was all God working in my heart. I kept telling Mom and Dad my heart was not ready to pray to Jesus. Then on October 21st, 2013, I was in my bed reading a book about Jonah and the whale, and I dropped the book and bolted down the stairs to tell my Mom and Dad I was ready to ask Jesus into my heart. I sat on the couch and talked to Dad for a long time. I knew I was ready, so I prayed the prayer of salvation. At first, it felt like any other normal prayer, but when I was done, it felt different, like something had shifted. I suddenly understood the scriptures and the stories I had heard all my life, not because someone told them to me, but because my heart knew that every single story God meant for good. God changed my life that day, and now I want everyone to know that I love him.
Amen.
Hallie's a little nervous, so she wants me to read hers. So. This is Hallie's. I grew up in a Christian home in Beals Island. My dad was the pastor, so I was at church a lot, even after church services. Addie and I used to sneak off to our secret place outside where there were flowers and trees. It helped me to know that God was real because of all of the creation. Then we moved here to Waterville. I guess I never really questioned if God is real. I just knew. He's always gone with me. I didn't understand why I had to pray to ask Jesus in my heart because he's always been there. Then last summer after VBS, I asked Jesus in my heart. I was sitting on the bed talking to Daddy. I didn't understand everything Daddy was saying, but I knew my heart wanted Jesus. So I prayed with Daddy. After, I was so happy because I felt Jesus there. Now I want everyone to know I have Jesus in my heart. I want other people to feel that too. I want to be able to tell people about God so they can be happy like I am.
Annabelle and Reese Hanscom and Dad Mark.
God made everything, and I love him. I love my family. Jesus died on the cross for my sins. I have gone to church all my life and loved learning more about God and Jesus. I am being baptized today because I accepted Jesus into my heart and want to follow him.
Awesome.
Risa said, I love learning about God and Jesus. My mom and dad teach me a lot about God and Jesus. I ask Jesus into my heart so I can be more like him. Jesus died on the cross for my sins, and I love him.
Awesome. Thank you. And so I'm honored to be able to participate in this way, but I'll tell you, these kids are sharp, absolutely sharp. I think sometimes we underestimate what kids can handle. in terms of knowing of the Lord and at what young ages. So please continue to be praying for them and us as a church as we go forward. And so if you'll stand and sing as we try to get ready in time.